Proverbs chapter 5 today. It's a great chapter, great counsel from God. Remember, he's counseling his people. But it's the thing about Proverbs, it's so raw, it's so real. It doesn't explain the plan of salvation. It doesn't tell us, you know, about redemption and so forth, but it gives very straightforward, if this, then this, and teaches us wisdom, and Christians need wisdom. This book is for us. It's stark reality. It's the simple truth. If you touch the fire, you're going to get burned, type of thing. If you don't touch the fire, you won't get burned. That's the kind of counsel it gives. And then wisdom says, I'm not going to touch the fire, because if I do, I'm going to get burned. Well, chapter 5 is one of those type of chapters, to be sure. Let's pray, and then we'll begin reading it. Father in heaven, give us grace today as we read this passage and go through it. For young and old alike, for fathers, for sons, for mothers and daughters, all need to hear it. You can give us straightforward truth regarding the terrors that have come with sin, in particular with adultery. And you call your people to holiness and purity and cleanness, yet we find ourselves in having a heart that is drawn toward sin. So we pray that you give us counsel today, that we would learn to be aware of what's in our heart and also to govern our heart according to your word through the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Doug likes titles. I like titles too. This is heart awareness and heart governance. Heart awareness and heart governance. I think we see it so clear in this passage. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight. Now remember, this is Solomon teaching his sons, but it is God's counsel to us. And I want fathers and sons especially to listen today. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Now then, my son, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others, and your years to one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. At the end of your life you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. This is a powerful chapter. It's very raw, very real, but it wouldn't be much of a stretch for us to say that the main reason Christians fall into sin and immoral practices is not because they don't know it's wrong or sinful or immoral, but because there's a lack of wisdom and understanding and a lack of self-discipline, a lack of self-control. Now, Proverbs is truth for life. It teaches us how to govern ourselves. It teaches the people of God how to govern their own hearts. Take responsibility. Weigh the consequences and then act accordingly. How to control our sinful desires and sinful passions. Remember, the Scripture teaches us in other parts of the Bible of the fact of the matter is there is a sinful nature still resident inside us. We've been given a new nature, but there's the old man, the Scripture calls it, that we are to put to death. You rein in those sinful desires and sinful, I can't even think of another word, sinful desires. You rein those in through the power of the Holy Spirit as a new creature in Christ, knowing you have power to do it. So we have to control these. How do we do it? Well, if you fail to store up God's commands within you, as Proverbs chapter 2 commanded us, store up the commands within you. If you fail to do that, and if you fail to seek wisdom, which Proverbs says, listen, my son, seek wisdom, seek understanding. If you neglect or refuse to, you'll falter and fail. It's that simple. If you choose to reject the counsel of God's word, you will falter and fail in life. And there's one fundamental reason for that. If you reject the counsel of God, you prove that you do not have the fear of the Lord. The foundation for every human being who would live a life pleasing to God is fear of the Lord. That is, the fear of the Lord is what is first awakened when you came to faith in Jesus Christ. You recognize there is a God in heaven who is the judge. And there is a consequence for my sin, and it's death. That is fear of the Lord. And if I don't repent and turn, if I don't follow after Him and obey the command to follow after, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm doomed. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And God says in His Word, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Sinners, Christians don't sin because they were not aware of the sinful of sin. They sin for they do not have knowledge and fear of God, at least not a proper knowledge and fear of God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the starting point of where we grow up in Christ. It's the starting point where we govern our own self, govern your own heart. It's a starting point to where you become effective in keeping God's commands, listening to what God has to say. It's the starting point where you become effective as a Christian, living according to His wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And just keep in mind, we're talking to born-again believers. We're talking to Christians today. This isn't a blanket message for the whole world, but there's counsel to be given. But my assumption is most of you here are believers. And so everything that's spoken of today is concerning you. And you've received grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But you have to be aware, as you live a life as a Christian, you've got to be aware of what runs in and through your mind and how it animates your heart. You know those things. You know the things that make you alive to God or those things that make you turn away and do your own thing. You know in your bones the very things that stir you. No one else can know it. It's a secret place. We talked about it a few weeks ago, the hidden you that no one else can see. Those desires within you that move you and cause you to do the things that you do. But you have to you've got to learn to be aware of what those things are. You're not just an animal that just lives according to instinct, but you have power to know what it is that moves you. And you can know the truth about yourself. You can know it in your bones, the very things that make you do what you do. And because if you can know what those things are, then you must learn to govern your thoughts and guard your heart. Govern your thoughts. When you do that, you'll govern your own heart. Those very desires that God has given, but yet you have to learn to control them. And Proverbs chapter 5 speaks of one of those desires for pleasure. And he talks about adultery. And I think it's interesting that he would bring this up to his sons, to talk about an adultery situation. Now, adultery stems from an ungoverned heart. The act of committing adultery comes out of an ungoverned heart, one without restraint, where sinful desires are not brought into submission to Christ and His counsel, which is the Word of God. And that's true for believers, and it's true for unbelievers. It stems from an ungoverned heart where there's been in that area anyway, that the area of adultery and sins that surround it, there's not been a governing of the heart. Well, why would a father choose to warn his son of adultery? That's such a hard subject to talk about. And besides, if we have in mind, if we've raised our children in a Christian home, why would we ever have to warn against adultery anyway? Well, I know that adultery does happen among Christians. This father here, Solomon, I'm assuming, and God, of course, he's the one counseling us right now, brings up the subject of adultery because it's prevalent. It's right there in the hearts of men. For Solomon, he brings it up because he's aware of his own heart. He has an awareness of the reality of the strength of these desires. And he knows how prone he is as a man to be drawn into and enticed by the sinful desires of all kinds, especially those related in the realm of sexual purity. And in this case, regarding adultery, knows that there is an enticement. Our sinful desires draw us in. Doesn't mean that everybody that has those desires will commit adultery. But he's telling his son, I'm telling you, these are powerful, powerful, powerful enticements. So he wisely cautions his son to abstain from feeding fleshly lusts. And that is the simplicity of this chapter. He gives good, sound counsel to help his son to abstain from feeding the fleshly lust. And he uses pictures. He uses wonderful picture language that we can see what's happening. He says, don't do this, don't do that. And we'll look at it here in just a minute. But abstain from fueling the fire of fleshly lust, of adultery, of sexual immorality, and all uncleanness. Here's the counsel. Don't feed it. Don't fuel it. A wise father will begin addressing matters which God addresses. God would have us, as the children of God of all ages, read the Bible. And there are R-rated sections in the Bible. And children can read those sections. And God can minister to them. But a wise father will begin addressing these matters of which God sees as important regarding marriage and faithfulness, purity of thought, and of having a clear conscience. A father would be wise to begin instructing his sons at a young age concerning these things. Begin the discussion before the battle starts in the mind for a boy. And that battle will happen. And it will take place in the mind. And that the prize is the heart. And fathers, and oftentimes Christian fathers, live in denial concerning the battle your sons will face. Many Christian boys learn how to give all the right answers and smile at the right time and to say no at the right times when asked questions, pointed questions. But you have to know there's a battle in the mind that's going to try to steal the heart. And none of us want for our sons' hearts to be stolen and lost to sinful desires. The skirmishes are real. And don't mistake the right nodding of the head as that the victory's been won in your son. Don't let the way they dress or a blush on their face convince you that they have no battle and the mind when it comes to sexual purity and so on. These battles threaten to overthrow the mind and threaten to overthrow the heart. It's so important for us to keep this in mind. Be frank with your sons, just as God is here in Proverbs chapter 5. It's so simple what the Bible has to say about adultery. It's one of the shortest commandments in all the Ten Commandments. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. So simple. Proverbs chapter 5 goes on to expound on the why and the danger of it. There are many sinful steps we learn from Proverbs chapter 5 that lead to adultery. There's sins that surround the actual act of adultery. Do not commit adultery. And God tells us in chapter 5 there's a whole lot going on well before adultery is committed. When you're counseling your sons, they need to know it's just not a matter of don't do this. Like this, Father Solomon, and like God counsels us here in chapter 5, be aware of these things. Be aware of your own heart and be prepared to govern yourself. Discipline yourself. Proverbs chapter 5 warns against many seventh commandment sins, not just the act itself, not just adultery itself. Verses 3 through 14 are powerful verses, and we read them. And it begins to explain and provide clear heart awareness. Know yourself. Don't deny the truth about yourself. I remember my dad and I would be watching football, and the cheerleaders would come on. And I'd say something like, I can't believe, I'm 16 at the time or something. I can't believe they would do such things like that, put cheerleaders on TV. I wasn't being honest with what was going on in my heart, but I sure was giving the words that I thought my dad would be real proud of. Heart awareness is so important. Both for you as a father and as a son. Don't deny the truth. Seek the wisdom of those who are older. Solomon paints vivid pictures, as God would have him to do, here in verses 3 through 14, of the strength of the allure of the adulteress. There is a strength in things that entice the human heart. There's a strength in the attraction toward that which God has said no. It's our sinful nature is drawn to its own pleasure, fulfilling its own desires in its own way, which is what that typifies the fallen human nature. But he paints vivid, vivid pictures of how the allure and the attraction of the adulterous woman will be so strong. It will lure you slowly. It will entice you just gradually. And then, thankfully, he follows this with insight. Not only will he paint the picture of what's going on so he can be aware of what's going to be attracting his heart, but he gives counsel that will strongly assist in governing the heart. And that counsel is warnings of consequences. Consequences are great governors. Governments do it all the time. If you break the law, these are the consequences. You govern yourself by those things. Now, we are people that live according to the grace of God. But we have so many times in the New Testament written to Christians, people that have received the grace of God, flee from sinful desires. Flee from sexual immorality. That's a command. So we can't say, well, we're not under any command. We are men and women under command, sons and daughters under command. So he gives strong counsel that will be useful and effective in governing the heart. And we live in a day where there is so little restraint of the heart that our children, our sons, as we look through this chapter, we could just talk to sons, that our sons, our sons, are breathing in that air. We have to be careful. Verse 3 gives us, he begins, I think, exposing, or at least calling his attention to some heart awareness. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. You will look at her, you will hear her, you will see her, whoever she is, the temptation, the temptress, and your curiosity will be so aroused. Your interest will be piqued. You're aware at that point in time that there's something that you find attractive in what you hear and what you see. Be aware of that. He doesn't say it. He doesn't paint her as being ugly and repulsive, but very attractive. Her speech is smoother than oil, and you're drawn to it. As a man, we just are. It's just the way our flesh is. Now, verses 4 through 6, though, begins the governance of the heart. He says, but in the end, she's bitter gall. You don't end up with what you thought you had. Sharp as a double-edged sword, rip your heart out and stomp on it. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, and she knows it not. In other words, she has no substance of heart. It's just all glitz and attraction. And the world loves that erotic attraction where you just have to let it go. He's saying, but govern yourself. There's nothing there. There's no substance. Nothing to last for long. Just ruin and emptiness and failure. She's going to sicken you, and then she's going to damage you. She has no depth of mind. She's ignorant of virtue. And this, my son, because of what you've been taught and because of whose you are, this will rot your bones. And because of who you are, sons, if you are a child of God and you follow your passions unrestrained, you will rot your bones. You will groan. You will come up grasping for air and gasping for air and grasping at nothing. In verse 7 he says, listen, now listen, my son, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Solomon was a product of adultery. His dad had to tell him something about this. After all was said and done, his dad had to say, I love you, I wouldn't exchange you for anything, but I'm going to tell you. Adultery is full, the promise it brings, it's full of lies. Listen, and Solomon says, now listen to me, listen. And Solomon had first-hand experience evidently. He provides some hard awareness again in verse 8. He says, keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her heart. Now, why would he have to say keep to a path far away? Because probably he knows there's going to be that desire to look and just see. Is she home? issue there. Keep to a path far from her. Be aware of your heart that there's curiosity. Be aware of your heart. You're going to want to look to see. I think that it's a subtle exposure of the heart. Knowing this, be aware of this, that you're easily drawn in when she makes it easy for you to come over, so to speak. She'll make it easy for you to come to her. You'll find the way to her door is an easy path. You'll think that with her, your life is going to be different, better, fuller, meaningful. But we already read it's going to be empty. The Bible tells us that the way of the transgressor is hard. But do you know that the way of the transgressor starts off really easy? Sin, and the first steps into sin, is easy. It's just like you fall right into it. But it gets harder as you go. The Bible says it, tells us, and you've probably experienced it yourself to where you got to that point in time like David did after his sin just was eating at him. My bones are wasting away. My joints are all out of order. I can't take it anymore. And you probably found in your own life when you're convicted, when the Lord puts His weight of conviction upon you to cause you to repent, you come to this point of saying, I can't take it anymore. God, please have mercy on me. The way of the sinner is hard. Sin's first steps are easy, but it gets harder. On the other hand, to follow in obedience to the Lord, to deny your own desires that want expressed in sinful ways is hard at first, but it gets easier as you walk along in obedience. It is counterintuitive. We think it ought to be easy. If I'm going to choose to obey God, it ought to go well, easy. But it's hard. Walking away the long way around, keeping to a distant path from the attraction, is hard. Governing your heart is not easy. Now, verse 12, he also gives some heart awareness as well. In the end, when he says, well, we'll read verse 11, at the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. Heart awareness in verse 12, simple, I think. There's a strong temptation, a strong leaning of the heart, of the human heart. The heart of a boy, whether he's 1 or 2 or 16, the heart of a young man, it's in the heart of an older man, to despise discipline, to not want it, to get away from me. Don't tell me this stuff. I already know it. I don't want to hear it. That flows from the heart. You have to have a heart awareness. It is normal to my sinful nature to not want discipline. But just because you don't want it doesn't mean you don't need it. And it doesn't mean you won't get it. But when it comes to governing your own heart, if you're not aware of the fact that my desires at times rebel against the notion of discipline, if you don't understand about yourself, you'll find it very hard to yield when discipline is being applied. Yield to the discipline. So he says, when you're laying down, you're exhausted, you wore yourself out, life has ended up not what you planned because your own sin. How I hated discipline, how I hated it. And I can't do a thing about it now, it would feel. How my heart spurned correction, what a fool I was. Heart governance is simple to know this. If I reject the discipline of God's Word, and if I reject the counsel of parents and others that love me, of godly men and godly women, I reject that, if I reject discipline, rest assured I will become spiritually impotent as I get later in life. I'll have a loss of vibrancy. I will be full of regret. Don't do this. I was telling my mom, I remember Grandma Tooley, I was going to go out on a date or something. Not that I was interested in girls or anything. I would, but I was going to go out on a date, and she, her words to me, I remember them as plain today as she told me then. Don't do something tonight that you'll regret 30 years from now. And she says so kindly, I was like, yes, Grandma. What a wonderful counsel that was. The Bible leads us to Christ. When we read the Bible, we got to know it's God's history of redemption. And for those who come to faith in Him, the Bible provides ample instructions regarding our hearts. And we can't deny it. The Bible doesn't paint a rosy picture of our hearts. When we have to be aware of our hearts, it's not that we would be aware of how wonderful we are. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us so clearly, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? But you can be aware of it. Don't trust your heart. Be aware of it, but don't trust it. James 1:14, but each person is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Don't trust your heart. Govern your heart. So be aware of your heart and govern your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is so important for us. You have to remember, it's very, very important. Make up your mind ahead of time, as Jesus counseled his disciples. Make up your mind ahead of time. Now, verses 15 through 21, he lays down good counsel for governing your heart. Marriage. Isn't that wonderful? God speaks of marriage here. The beauty of it. The vibrancy of it. Govern your heart, knowing that God gives the outlet for your natural desires. We find it hard in marriage sometimes because we're not honest with each other. But God gives the gift of marriage so that we can be clean in our natural desires. The Bible speaks at times in a marriage that there needs to be a mutual agreement, that there needs to be a rest. But there has to be a mutual agreement, a discussion. Otherwise, if you know your heart, I know that if I don't discuss, if I don't at least be honest where I'm coming from and listen to where my wife is coming from, I'm liable to become bitter of heart. And governance will be much more difficult. God doesn't forbid us from enjoying natural desires. But He's provided a right way to enjoy the natural desires. I'm speaking to men, I'm speaking to women too. But primarily for sons to remember, God has an outlet. It's one of the benefits, the blessings, the gifts of marriage. Those desires can be gratified in a right and holy way. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that the marriage bed is holy. There's nothing defiled, but when we read chapter 5, you get the idea, and throughout Proverbs we'll see that the marriage bed, or the bed of an adulteress, is defiled. Verses 21 through 23, perhaps some of the best, quickest, most rifle-shot governance that you can find in the Bible is found right here in 21 through 23. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and He examines all his paths. You can trick your dad, you can trick your friends, you can trick your pastor, but you cannot pull the wool over God's eyes. This is good for governance. Verse 22, the evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for a lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Heart awareness, heart governance. You be participating in it. Fathers, talk to your sons and talk to your daughters. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this great and powerful and difficult passage. Let us be wise in how we use it. And let's take to heart the necessity of heart awareness and honesty within our hearts. So we would pray that you would search us and see if there be a wicked way in any of us, that we might bring it into the light. Give us grace through the power of the Holy Spirit and through your word that we would govern our hearts right and be spared from the empty way of life that comes so naturally. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.